episode 30, tops.
Welcome everybody to Dead Runner Podcast. My name is Thomas Pscheid, but you may know me since this weekend, Tops Runners. Awesome, when I'm here with my boys, Scott, Beaks, and Mike White. And
yeah, we actually got double Scott today.
Yeah,
that's with me.
Yeah, you're gonna have to send me a picture so I can use a picture of you as my background next week, Mike.
Oh, me with the background?
Yeah, you should see it every time. Same logo.
Yeah.
This time you need to look at the video because we have a beautiful picture of young Scotty Beaks in his prime, I would even say. In the back.
Young? I'm young now. Prime? I'm in my prime now. What are you talking about?
You're not. You are not. You're past your prime.
We love you, but still not prime anymore. Anyways, we have even another Scott Beaks with us because I got this beautiful card. Shout out. Thank you so much for...
Wow, it really is triple B, as Levy would say on stream.
Me. I can now put it in a very safe...
Does it say bigger balls on it? Bigger ball?
It's really... No, it's not. Okay. We got to start.
Shout out to Blake for that card, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, Blake. Also, for leaving it to me. It was awesome to meet you. We are talking, of course, about championships. This is the first time for me ever going to the US for a Spike Bowl tournament and is the biggest one of the season. And on that note, even it's a big step for me. It's also kind of a big step for Mike because he was the first time not there. Mike, how was it for you to follow along?
Genuinely, it was an emotional day not being there. It felt very weird following the Fuego. Like, I was very much addicted to the Fuegos, watching the stream. Shout out to ES RoundNet streaming their games on Twitch on Saturday. It felt very different. It also felt weird later when I was like listening to commentary but not there. It just was like, especially being at that field, it felt different. I know I'm in a little bit of a different RoundNet place in my life right now, and it kind of like was a reflection day on that. So it was pretty emotional, pretty interesting, but still fun. I still enjoy it. I think I have such a like, I only watched a handful of games, but like I just always am checking. I always just want to know what's going on. Like, it's just like that back of my mind, like, just gotta check the scores, gotta see what's happening, which was, you know, there was a lot happening at this event.
So a side note to, we was obviously discussing before we started actually recording this podcast, but it reminded me of the message I sent you that we talked about a little bit before, Mike, about like, oh, I saw the rally blog on
YouTube
from ages
on my old podcast from like forever ago. Yeah.
It was like 7 years ago. And I just remember seeing you discuss like the top 15 teams in the country. And there was an interview with, Chiswick Showar on there, and it was just like, I was like, damn. And then it was the same weekend as the championship that obviously, you've commentated and been at so many, and it's must have been a strange feeling for you not being there, but following along. And I remember seeing you commentate in 2021, the one that I went to, of course, in Philadelphia. I missed you there as well. I wanted to listen to you commentate on some of the games. I got tops, of course, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, for me also the whole weekend was about streaming, not Sunday, but Friday and Saturday. And Friday worked out pretty well. We had a lot of people interested. We had a great game we're going to talk about later. But I also need to clarify some points. And that is, of course, on Saturday we had a little incident starting the... So we, Andrew and I... were streaming.
Andrew Gassaway.
And Andrew Gassaway, who is responsible for streaming, but also much, much more, not only streaming. And he was coming up with a template, how we should structure the day. And it was like, we had quarter games, we had then semis, both semis at the same time, left on the Spikeball channel on YouTube, right on the Tops channel on Twitch. And people could choose what they watch. And the same thing for the men's or open pro bit, where we had also both semifinals, but for the finals then on a short notice we had kind of a switch, and it was only one big court anymore, because also for Rounded Work there's a big documentary coming out of this very event. And so the plan that I later heard was all the time that we have one final court and not gonna stream the as I call it, small and big final. But we're going to have only the big final, and the small final is going to go somewhere else. And for me at the spot, it was a little bit too late for really moving everything, because I have also equipment and need to get things in.
You're not that strong.
Yeah, I'm not as strong. Or I can't take everything on my own. And since I was kind of in a stressful spot, I said, okay, then hop over to YouTube channel. Let's watch the final there. And I'm going to end the stream. And it was my decision. But I also have to say, it was kind of a miscommunication between me and Andrew. And he also said, hey, you can stream the final with me, so all of the communities can see the final. But at the time where we communicated about it, it was already, the court was finished, people were already settled, and I didn't want to, you know, get people up again and we'll let the players wait so we can have this setup, because of course the YouTube setup for Spikeball was already there. And I got like a lot of messages, people were outrageous. They were also posting on the Spikeball stream. Not too nice of things, I would say. But it was kind of a misunderstanding. And I also got messages where people said in the group chat that Spikeball would take down my channel because I had more viewers than them at this point, which is completely untrue. They were helping me. They were also very supportive, but it was a miscommunication. And so I choose to not stream it, because it would have made a lot of, I would have had to move a lot of people, adapt and stream it. And there was already streams. So I felt like, okay, hey, we're going to have it on the Spikeball channel and I go offline. It's okay. We had kind of a different plan, but since the plan was actually not right communicated, we, you know, had to switch. And then I felt like in a position where I said, okay, but then it would take too long for me to set everything up.
What was the reason they didn't want to film the mini finals, the third place playoffs?
The plan was that there's only one big court for the final. And why exactly that is I think because of the documentary, that it looks good for one big circle with one game or something like that. I'm not 100% sure about that, but that was kind of the thing that they wanted to fulfill or just wanted to do. And yeah, I was Spikeball did say sorry to me, and they were looking out for me, but a lot of people were really upset about that. And I think it was kind of miscommunication on both sides. But I hope, of course, we can learn from that, because I was also very surprised. I was in a kind of awkward spot. I was between the community and Spikeball, and a lot of people were saying hashtag free tops, stuff like that. And I felt like I'm in the middle of something that I shouldn't be somehow. But I also thought, hey, I'm kind of a guest at this tournament, and I'm not fully responsible for, you know, having provide the full coverage or something. I kind of did the best that I can. I also, after we had so many messages and stuff, started to stream the men's final again later on, which was a lot of stress, and I think we couldn't really have the quality that I wish we could provide, but we tried our best, and that's all for that. It feels like I think if you have two streams, you need to kind of communicate a little bit earlier how exactly you're going to do it, and also kind of have a game plan to cover as much as possible. And we didn't do that, and I think that was a big mistake.
It's definitely a bit of a shame, you know, given that you obviously went out there to stream, you know, solely to stream the event. And it would have been nice with the additional stream or the stream of the third place playoffs. Just, you know, whatever would have happened, if you knew earlier, of course, you would have been able to do one or the other. That's obviously a shame for yourself and a bit of a shame for the viewers that were following throughout the day. I mean, I don't know if you want to share publicly, but like, what was your like relationship with Spikeball in regards to, did they help compensate you for coming and helping stream the event in the US?
Yeah, I get a little bit. I wouldn't say that it really covers my costs or something like that, but I got I will get a little bit. And I would wish that we would have a better way of doing it. But I think also that the resources from the company for this event was not too much. And especially for streaming, you need a little bit of resources, you know. Everything is expensive, from cameras, from the flight, from transportation, everything about it logistically and all the things that are around that are just expensive. But I also wished kind of that there is more, just more resources, you know. And I also gotta say that a lot of people, like Andrew Gasaway, doing a great job, but he's kind of doing multiple roles at the moment. When people attack him about the stream, I feel like responsible for a lot of other things too. And I'm not kind of mad or something at him or his person, but I'm not mad at all, but I wish Spikeball as a company would kind of more focus providing a decent output, and that also maybe a person more that can help just the surrounding of the coverage, or like a little bit more compensation so that we work in a proper way. That's kind of all I have to say about this. I'm very sorry that it happened like that. I felt also kind of a little bit humbled, because a lot of people were like kind of taking my side, even though I have no side.
You see, there was no side.
Yes, yeah. But I felt also very in a bad spot. But yeah, for the next time, hopefully we can arrange a better system, better quality overall. And that's,
besides the stream, was there anything that stood out from you in regards to your being the first time in the US, first time at a championship? How was the atmosphere compared to Europe? How was your experience?
Very.
How much better are the players in the US?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to tell a few stories. I was there and saw the first time Rogue in person. I also said hi to Sandrine. And I got to say, when I saw them play, that even though I saw them multiple occasions already on streams, on YouTube videos, whatsoever, I was freaking impressed how athletic those guys are. How, like, their movement is just on another level. And even though, what we're going to talk about next, they are...
You know, you're roasted, right?
Well, yeah, but like the athleticism and how strong they are as athletes, I had to tell them, hey guys, even though it didn't work out that well, it's just, you guys are so freaking good. And I never saw that before, like with my own eyes on the spot. And I was...
What did you tell them? Yeah. Did you jinx them?
No, it was afterwards.
Maybe they could have used the confidence before, Thomas. Maybe you should have told them.
Yeah, Tom.
God.
Did I know before?
You know, they went to the weekend like, oh, Thomas actually thinks we're pretty bad. Let's play bad, huh?
Okay. And on another call, like, yeah, of course, like, they tried to implement some of things of the European tournament culture, with having, you know, everyone together and partying together and something like that. And it felt at some points a little bit forced, you know, because at our events, it just happens. And people know, yeah, now we're going to party. And people were not used to that. And that was also something that I witnessed. Overall, the vibe was a little, okay, we're going to go to this event. And then right off, we're going to drive home. Yeah. And I'm not very used. And so we had it.
That's one of the biggest things I hope stays consistent. Like, forever, whatever growth we get in RoundNet, I really do hope that stays consistent. Otherwise, we just turn into another little sport. You know, it's one of the things I love about RoundNet. One of the reasons why I got involved in it, and that's how I met you, Tops. You know, the beaches in Romania back in 2021. Like, so inclusive. Like, I hope we don't lose that. I know it's a little bit different in the US, but it definitely wasn't, you know, a few years ago. And even if it's moving towards that direction, it still doesn't mean it has to continue to go in that direction of being a little bit more exclusive. Because Europe needs to be aware of that potential incoming problem as well. Because, gosh, I really hope it doesn't become not to say that the US is, but come totally exclusive and totally, you know, go to the event, you drive home, and it's less community based, more just results driven, or just my thoughts.
I think also we made a small impact and had also good time, but I feel like
do you have any fun meets that you didn't expect, like fun people to meet?
So many people came up to me, and I saw them because with a lot of people already had text messages on Instagram or on even in the stream, and then to see the people really face to face, it's just always so interesting. And I'm very glad when people approach me and say, hey, I watch your stuff, or like, thank you for what you're doing. And that happened multiple occasions, and I always feel very honored that happened. And yeah, it's, you know, it's always great people that are all as involved as we are and kind of know how much effort this is, just take the time and say, hey, thank you, or even have great requests. It's always very humble. And I think also that there are so many people putting much time and effort in there. I saw the whole Runnet work crew. I mean, they were there, I think, with 7 people that were only filming, and a lot of people that were helping. And I think it's going to be a banger of a documentary. And yeah, I mean, I can't even, I talked to so many people, and it was lovely people that I met there. And even though you see so many people, I had sometimes, like when I approached Raul, I felt like I know him already, even though we never talked, because I saw him so many times on the stream, you know? So yeah, I had great conversations. Still, the vibe was different, but we had still a lot of fun. Okay.
I said I found myself this weekend like reminiscing on Worlds. I don't even know what case, because it kind of like felt maybe like how you were feeling, where there were like so many people, just meeting a lot of people, having fun. Just such a nice time. I think like that's what I haven't gone to any Roundnet events this year, and so I think like watching the championship, you realize like how nice those times are, where you get to see people, or you meet people, or just chat with people. So I think that's like the biggest thing that I take away. When I see the stream and the big crowd, I like know, I'm like, oh, these people are hanging out, having a great time. So I'm glad that you were able to get over and meet a lot of people. Because I know it is so fun. And those online social relationships actually existing in person is pretty cool too.
Yeah.
I know. It's like when I first met Scott after podcasting for like 3 months.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, with also a lot of Europeans coming over, we were all together here, and it was a really good time. Okay, with that being said, let's go to the bare facts, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we can put a thing in the front of the podcast, like, hey, we just kind of ramble and talk about ourselves for like 25 minutes. So if you like us, listen. If not, like skip to this. Skip to 2206. But anyway.
Okay.
Thomas, you go.
Boys. Yes. Friday was mixed day. Oh, on a side note, since when did people say mixed instead of co-ed? Because I feel like that's a European thing and they adapted. Is that correct? Can you tell me?
Yeah, I think co-ed's relatively... I think there's been both. It was co-ed. I think mixed is like where it's transitioning. And I think it's just... like I think it was mixed. Or no, it was co-ed pro last year. I think the push is to mix just as a term. So I don't know specifically, but yeah, co-ed is an old term.
Okay. I felt like, you know, since in Europe, we always said a little bit of influence. Anyways. Okay.
Always
We had Golden Hour versus Fractal, which was the first one.
Crazy.
Yeah. I didn't see anything of that game because we streamed the others. So I would give you the mic here, Mike.
Oh, well, I'll say, actually, I think I watched it, but there wasn't a scoreboard, and I kept watching in and out, and then I, like, thought Clark and Lara were winning, and then I saw the scores after, and they lost, like, pretty good. So that was my experience, where I'm watching, I'm like, hey, they're looking pretty good here. Oh, no, they lost. Yeah, because I was, like, half watching something else than that, and I'm like, oh, they're doing it. No, they lost. Yeah. Oh, and then also
without a schoolboy is tough.
Yeah, yeah. I was like 30 minutes behind. So I think someone in my group chat was like, yo, they lost. And I like was in the middle of game, like started game two, because I was like, wave, or like I spoiled myself going to the flango. But anyway, so I just saw that. I thought Clark and Laura, I thought they looked good, but like clearly Golden Hour, great team. I picked him at the start of the year to be Fractal, so you know, I know what I'm talking about. But
yeah, no, I didn't watch too much of that matchup. I was watching your stream tops, but I was watching, unfortunately, the other Europeans, Levy and Megan.
Yeah, them worse.
Rough. To put politely, crushed by Etienne and Katie. No, we love Levy and Megan. Obviously, not the best performance of them. I'm sure they'd be a little bit disappointed with how they performed. But Etienne played incredibly. It was the best I've ever seen Etienne play. I mean, he underrated. I mean, I think in general, him and Blake are very underrated. It didn't surprise me when they won the major. But yeah, Etienne played great during that series. As did Katie. It was the best I saw Katie play as well in that series with Megan and Levy. So they played really well.
I was also very surprised by Katie's performance because she looked really solid. And yeah, like setting and hitting was
21-6.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was also an interesting format that they had, starting with quarters right away and then move on. So
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a little proper.
In the other quarterfinal, we had Gabe and Sarah beating Yulia and Grant. Then in the other semi, we had Joe Bondi and Ali Jenke beating Ryan Gross, Kara Hoy. So, yeah.
Yep.
So, a nice little semifinal matchups.
There was I watched some of Golden Hour mixed signals, Katie and Etienne. That was like the scores were 21-19, 21-18, like very, very close. Like super close game. Yep. Like, that was fun to watch.
I agree. I didn't have Etienne and KT going, you know, that far. I think I thought it was going to be a close game between Levy and Megan. But the way Etienne and KT performed, I then thought after that game that, wow, if they performed the same way against Golden Hour, they have a pretty good chance in beating them and then going through to the final, winning it all. It didn't surprise me when they came off the back of two very close games, but just losing to Olivia and Will in the semis.
But the other side, I mean, now it makes sense, but Gabe and Sarah beating Ali and Joe, who I think I picked to win or at least take second.
Most people did when we did the polls.
When we did the polls,
it was like 79%. 79% for Joe and Ali. And Gabe and Sarah won comfortably.
And then, Thomas, you were there. Gabe. Scott, did you watch the finals?
I did. Gabe, so many
finals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gabe,
it really was like unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was
unbelievable. Yeah, yeah.
We got to ban the reverse cut, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah, down 4 points. Gabe, I mean, I might be wrong, but I think 4 points. It was like down like 20, but it was down like 19-15 or down 20-16, something like that. Ball in Gabe's hands. Bang, reverse cut, no touch. Bang, ace for Olivia. Or what are they going to do? Bat hits another one, and then it's like timeout.
Yeah, with like a timeout.
Yeah. He comes back. Yeah. Hits the best reverse of the series. Bang. And
I would say shout out to the observer that called like fault on like the fifth in a row. Like that's, you gotta have nerves to like make that call. Yeah, he was about to go like six in a row for a win, and the observer was like, nope. And like he eventually got it. But like, I like that. I shout out to the observer or the ref for making that call.
Yep. It was
When we had the third place matchup in my stream, we could always hear like, whoa. People were freaking out. It was, Gabe was in phenomenal shape. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Getting all the serves. Then him and Sarah were playing so well together, just like making
Sarah play.
Yeah.
By miles. So her hitting was so good. Her receives, especially her serve receive, Will.
She had some cheeky shots. Great. Like I was.
Yeah, so first impressed. Point of the second set, like it was a tough, good serve, tough to receive. Mm-hmm. Gabe, good set. She like put it away really nicely. Set. It might have been even the first point of game one, but really solid, really solid.
That was the third place game, because that looked close too, right? Like by the scores, like not get game two, but games one and three.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see, and it was, I felt like at the start, there was, at the first set, I felt like, that's not going to be too long of a game. But then we went into the set number three and we had a very close matchup. But Sub, I have now probably...
Funnel. It's a hard word.
Sadl. Yeah. But also, Fred made fun of me because I can't really pronounce the word apple. Now I'm very conscious about my pronunciation. Here we go.
That sounds very nice, Fred.
Don't be conscious of it. Don't be conscious of it, Ops.
No, but it was all stuff.
Wait, hold on. What is your native tongue?
German.
Yeah, do you want to see me do a podcast in German?
I would love to see that.
Danke. Kaffee.
You know what? I'd love to see Fred do a podcast in German. Because I know he'd be up
Fred
for doing
is not it. Fred in German, no.
Yeah, but he's not good. Fred he's is not bad, but he's not good. Yeah. I'm sure we can get him on a few words. We'll rip into him then.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it was the third set.
I was going to say, if you're still talking about the third place, I was going to know over all this.
One short thing. It was a kind of a funny situation because the final was so one-sided that it was super fast finished. And then we had still the third place match. It was going, ongoing. So it was a weird situation there. But yeah.
I was going to say, it might just be like the Friday night under the lights, but last year I loved the mixed. And this year I loved watching it. I love this event. I don't know if it needs anything more. I kind of just like it. It's just kind of run right in. It was fun. Yeah. It was cool.
I totally agree. That. I'm so happy they extended it from 4 to 8. So to get that quarterfinal, semifinal, final, it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. And even on the European side of how big of a mix we have, because we have the mixed European mixed championship this weekend in Brussels, 29 teams in Europe. So it'll be nice to see how that plays out. But going back to the championship, under the lights, nice little pre-event warm up, getting the crowd going, getting some high level round there, get the warm up games for the top players. Yeah, it's a really nice way to start off the weekend, I think. Not too many games, but nice matchups. And like we saw, anyone could win it.
Right. I think that's what's exciting too. More spotlight on some different players, right? Which is awesome. Sarah didn't make the quarterfinals on Saturday, or the semifinals on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So awesome for her to get that spotlight time. That's I'm a big fan. I don't know, you could extend it to something more, but I think it's nice as a, if you're doing a weekend, have it being that first event and kind of welcoming in. I'm a big fan.
But and also, I mean, we're going to go into the Open and Women's Pro in a second, but if I'm not mistaken, right, both the winners of the mixed division finished below the second place finishers in the co-ed on Saturday. Because you had Gabe and Sarah both win the mixed, and they beat obviously Will and Olivia, and Olivia won, of course, on Saturday, and Will placed third over Judgment Day with Raul. Yeah. So it's really cool that we had two sort of, below podium players playing together and then winning mixed. That shows that it doesn't have to be the best man or the best woman playing together. It's, how well can they play as a team and how well can they play in that specific set and against that specific opposition if their strengths aid their performance against that specific team. So I thought it was cool to see too.
I'm a big fan.
All right, we're going to move up to the Open division, and that was something else.
Where do we start?
I don't know. We can start at the pool play, and we're going to talk a little bit about it.
I'll just say round it, again, right? I don't know if you guys understand how little parity and how little people beat each other in round net before. In 2018 Nationals, where there was the first ever pro division, I don't think there was, I think there was one single upset the whole day, on paper, the bracket just went. If you gave the default bracket, that's essentially what happened, except for one or two things maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at
the lowest seed might be the highest seed. Right. In general, the highest seed was one.
And it was maybe the 10-7, right? So it's the most likely to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And the finals was boring that year too. not women's. Women's actually was electric that year. It was electric. It actually was in the Discord last week. Was the Premier Finals. There's Pro Premier. Premier Finals in 2018 was Ezra Dantowitz and Cole Modell versus Buddy Hammond and Corey Heck, Caleb Heck's older brother. And what's funny is third place, I think, was Jacob Payer and Fred, which is pretty crazy. So that was fun.
That's cool.
But it was one of those things, Toss, where it's like the finals ended and then everyone like just moved to watch the Premier Finals, which was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all that to say, like when I'm going through the bracket upsets were one thing, but like when I'm just seeing pool, like the amount of parity in pool play is like ridiculous. Like only one team went undefeated, right? And then everyone else, like there was 5-1, right? One team went 6-0. Was it, I forget. I can find out in half a second.
But yeah, as you're going through, like we had so many upsets, just to name a few, like, right? We had the Prince beating in system in a game. We had Cigar Boys taking a set off Spotless. We had RCG Powerline losing in extras in both games via assisted touch. We had ES taking a set off Kingdom Come and then 1-1 with them. We also had...
I'll say no team went undefeated. That was what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Zero teams went undefeated.
Bot House taking a set off Rogue.
Right? Like
so many good results. So many.
The fact that Pool B was only two teams with four wins, two teams with two. Yeah, right. Kingdom Come going 3-3. Like, right? I would say, like, obviously Kingdom Come had a crazy day, but like even when they went 3-3 in pools, like I would give them a shot to win. Years ago, if a team went 3-3 in pools, there is zero chance they're not even making like the semis, right? Yeah. Like zero chance, right?
Yep.
Okay. Like Guacho's almost like beat assistive touch, right? Like they went 1-5 in pools. Like the parity is awesome. Like it's really, I know we have it on a template to talk about like going forward, but like right now, like it's really there. And, you know, on paper, that's pretty great. And it's pretty fun to watch.
Incredibly. Yep.
Yeah.
It was crazy because also it's when Powerline, I watched Powerline play against Kingdom Come just a little bit. And then you could see something in Kingdom Come in the team of them just switched. And it was just the start of a run that nobody could have ever fall off, because Kingdom Come then did in the bracket first game beat in system power ranking number one overall before the tournament 13-11. Okay, cool.
Crazy.
Then they go on play against Rogue, where they lose the first one 21-19.
The favorites of the whole tournament, won two majors the whole year.
Absolutely everyone knows Rogue was on the spot to be number one, but they beat it in the last two sets 14-11. Like 14-11.
Yeah. I mean, so the first one and they lose like two and then crush them.
Yeah. Yep. It is absolutely insane. Then they go on. Another team that's always kind of at the third spot somewhere around this, all season pretty decent, but not often on the top. Judgment Day. First one they lose, first one they win. I mean, that was pretty close to the set of third set, 15. They will go up 21-18, then the switch 21-18 for Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. And then they lost, Judgment Day lost by 15 in the last one. And they take out in the final critical hit in two sets. And that was a show. You should really rewatch that, because even Levy was commentating with me and he said he's now a fanboy of the clapper. Because it was just insane. Everything worked there for Clap Week, and I couldn't even, like, I didn't know what was happening. He was just on another scale today, at that day.
It's, you know,
Kingdom
it's
kind of
crazy. There's like, it will, like, they, I don't think, had podiumed at a major, right? Like, and then they just come out and do this. Matt Cole obviously won a major.
Wins Ryder here. Wins a major and a championship with different partners. That's got to be underrated.
I'm kidding. I think there's people that know more about RounderNet than me right now. That probably know more that happened than just Grant popped off. Obviously, that's huge. But, right, like, you double fault eventually, etc. And Grant had tons of aces, but also, like, them together, like, they just were so consistent, didn't get aced themselves, put that pressure on so that people really had to hit their best serves against them, which leads to more double faults. Like, it came together on both, right? You win by blowouts when it comes together on both sides. Like, are you stopping them and you're exerting? And so,
it's, you don't win games, you know, 21-13, 21-11 against incredible high oppositions by just one player serving. If that's when you win a game tightly and somebody just pops off near the end, like we see Gabe in the finals in mixed. Right. Not you don't win by those margins so consistently against top teams in one day by one guy.
I'm impressed how it like kept going. Right? Like, so you could say like one side, there's like, okay, you just keep that momentum. But like, how do you just keep having great games? Right? Like, it was just such a day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you think like, oh, at some point, like, you get to the finals and it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I think the other thing that like, right, Critical Hit, great team, but another team that you didn't expect to be in the finals there. And so not that they didn't play, like, I'm saying, like, if say it went a different way and like it became Kingdom Come versus like Rogue in the finals, maybe that's a little different, right? Like that, like,
well, so sure, yeah, when you play against that opposition that maybe is, you've already beat the toughest, so-called toughest opposition,
right?
It's so far to get to that stage, so now you don't have the one seed or two seed you're competing against in the final. You already beat the hardest competition that you expected to beat in the competition. Yeah. So now it's like, hey, just continue doing what we're doing. And I'm sure
that's just
anybody
on paper, right? Critical Hit also like not even like underrated at this point with their like second place finish or whatever. So
I'll tell you a little story regarding Tops' stream. Tops was waiting to film the semi-final of Tiramisu versus Towerfall. And while it was the coming soon or we'll be back soon, you could see Critical Hit play Spotless in the far background. Everybody in the chat is going crazy. Like, you could hardly see because loads of people are standing in the way of the stream.
Do you know like that the comeback that happened?
So Vinny,
I was just texting about it.
Vinny hit like four aces at 19-16 or 2017.
Ezra texted me. Ezra said, Vinny called timeout before serving 17-18, three straight aces, and then got served at 19-20 and held to win. So three straight aces to make it 2018.
I also think in the second game, he also popped off. That might also have got three or four aces back-to-back and then got one to end. But honestly, unbelievable scenes. And also, when I watch Critical Hit, the games, Justin was so clean as well. Like, we keep on talking about, like, oh, this one player, like, clutches or get these serves and they make a big difference. Do not underestimate, like, the Sarah, the Justin, the Matt in these situations. Because, like, you don't get put in those positions to have the confidence to serve or if your partner...
Is that, like, the combination of the team you want? You want, like, that pop off and the one that's just consistent, right? Is that the formula?
Maybe, or it maybe could be the formula. Yeah. Definitely some people, right? Some people prefer the support role in you know, it's not just in random, but, you know, in a relationship. Other people prefer being, you know, the alpha of the relationship, the more dominant, like, type. This is more just, like, you know, human psychology, but it's also very relative because... It's a team sport, two-person sport. Some people thrive being that supportive player. Some people thrive being the player. So you sometimes have the players together and it doesn't work. So, for sure. And it was awesome to see because it's those moments that you're just like, wow. And yeah, although it doesn't surprise us that Critical Hit got to the final, especially with, you know, the parity that we've already discussed, it was definitely not the final we expected to see of being Kingdom Come versus Critical Hit. And even the third place playoff being then Bad Combo and Judgment Day,
we could talk for
the year off they played together in the championship. Like, pretty cool.
It's very cool that they like. It's just ridiculous that they won. Like, super cool.
Yeah.
Like, in Critical in the finals. Like, congrats to them. Like, great end of the season. Like, I think like they just put in the work and it came through. Do want to talk about your boys from Europe.
Yeah, it's having a...
Before you end on that, I just want to add, like, two nicer guys could not have won, like, the whole thing. Like, everyone is so genuine.
Oh, it could have been me and Tops.
What did you say?
It could have been me and Tops. We could have won. Very true.
I'm
just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're right, Scott. You're right, Scott.
And Grant and Matt, like, for the fact that they've been playing together now, you know, this is their second season, I believe, together. They may have played a tournament two, 3 years ago, but second year together, and they continue to play together and get better and better as a team. And now this be their, you know, the end game of event of their second year together and play as well as they did, and then win their biggest event that they've had by far, by miles, after not podium at a lot of other big events they've attended this year. Like, yeah, awesome win. And
they're
good
contender
guys.
In 20, they're I think some what I'll call COVID players, like earned premier in 2021 and now championship winners in 2023. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, now tell us about the downfall of Europe.
Well, so thanks for listening to this episode.
The problem was I think Sima lost pretty early already in the first round of the brackets against Bothouse, which I actually did not know before. And then they
you sound like the uninformed European now about the Americans, because if you you follow the Americans,
Bothouse is so good.
Underrated. They were not on my list. And they had actually, because like Eisenregesim also had a decent standing, because they, now it was pre-seeded, but like 6th seed against 11th seed, you know, normally it's kind of a given. But then it was first set 21-15 for Bothouse. Second one went to Eisenregesim again 21-15. But the last one was kind of unexpected with 11 points for Eisenregesim, and therefore going out of the competition here.
Did you stream that one? Did you watch it?
No.
I didn't watch it
off it while streaming, and they told me that they are out. And yeah, I was very surprised, to be honest. I think also that there would have been more potential for both of them, but it's just, you know, as we see all those crazy upsets, it was kind of also for me, like the biggest upset, because I thought they were going to do really good, as I saw, as I said, also podcast before it. But yeah, I think the surf pressure, the constant surf pressure that Bothouse brought could also be a big difference between them playing in Europe, where they are kind of giving pressure always on the kind of top. And therefore they had to face a lot of surf pressure and got American play style, which is very quick, athletic, and a lot of pressure on the surf. So that I think that was kind of the reason.
I'll add to that and just say that I believe they went 4-2 in pool. They took a set of both Kingdom Come and Assistive Touch and beat RCG Powerline in two. So they ended up being then the second seed in their pool above Kingdom Come, correct? So
yes, Kingdom Come only has 3-3.
So like you look at pool play and you go, wow, like yeah, they're competing with the best, like really nice, really good performance from them. You definitely take 4-2, I think, coming into that pool beforehand. I mean, 6-0 is obviously the dream world, and 3-3 is probably bad scenario. 4-2 is a good scenario, or you know, anything worse than 3-3 is probably a little bit disappointing. But I mean, they played very well, and it's like we talked about last week on the podcast when previewing the championship. It's like the tournament really starts at the round of 16, especially because it's slotted. And we said that, you know, you really want to get those are top seeds, because then you have obviously a more likely chance of beating the opposition in the round of 16. And you want to get that, you know, momentum going for bracket play. You don't want to be having your best performance be the quarterfinal. You want to be winning that quarterfinal, building your momentum into quarters, and then getting better as you go on. And as we saw in this one, I mean, a team that they never played against, and a team that is a bit of a surprise package and a bit underrated in Bothouse, proved that, yeah, anyone can beat anyone. And yes, yeah, it went to three sets, you know, could have went to three sets in their favor, but it didn't. And that's sort of the championship for them. And Bothouse has done exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to get as high seed as possible and then beat a higher seed and a favorite in the round of 16 to get to the quarters. And then they're pretty happy with their tournament, in my opinion, top eight. T5 finish.
I was gonna say what's interesting, like if you go to the bottom of the bracket, all of like Profit Boost went 3, the Prince went 3,
yep,
right, Bothouse of Varieties and CD went 3, Assistive Touch Watchos went 3, like I think that's par for the course here, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I just think it's like unfortunate. Like, they were playing great. Same thing. Kingdom Come went 3-3 and then won the tournament. They went 4-2 and beat Kingdom Come and lost in the first round. Like, that's what's happened. Like, that's on just what it is here. You gotta bring it for all of these matches. Tops, did you talk to them like how they felt in their first trip over in their play?
I think they were felt pretty okay-ish. For them, it was a situation, but it was not like that they had just a big gap or something. I think they could have won all the game and they felt confident, but like didn't work out.
Yeah,
for myself, I thought like maybe this should have been one event before, you know, used to the games, used to the opponents a little bit, because it's also, if you know, I think Owen had a lot of really strong serves in that game. If you know that beforehand, if you know kind of the way he serves, what he's doing, would have been nice, you know, adapt from there. It's always good when you know a little bit about the opponents, like how they play. But again,
Realistic though in this form. Position we are in round that way. You can't just fly over to the US, play a tournament.
Yeah.
I bet they probably were out of pocket a lot in regards to coming to this championship, even if they did have sponsorship or any help, financial help, situation we're in right now.
I'll say this in like trying to be like the least critical I can be, where like watching their games versus Assistive Touch, they looked really good, but just a little still behind as far as like specific mechanics and flow within RoundNet. That and to say, like, I think it's just more reps and then they'll be like even better. So the fact that they like won all the events in Europe, and I'm like, I just see so much growth opportunity in watching them play. Where it was just like, oh, just a little different shot selection, a little different motion, like, and I think they would have like beat Assistive Touch in two. Like, you know, like they looked really good. And I think like if they keep playing, like there's no doubt they'll be back next year. Like 0%. Yeah.
I see that too. And I think also like on the positive side, they can learn so much from that event and also take so much with them. And I'm just happy that they went for the competition, because it wasn't too clear if they will come or not. And I think also they take a lot. If they are also, you know, stepping up the game for next, we're going to have stronger opponents. And then hopefully everyone in Europe is also advancing the point of also the growth.
Okay. So, and to conclude a little bit on the, just to go through the podium too, is what to conclude the Open Pro. Obviously, crazy Kingdom Come winning, and then Critical Hit, very successful tournament for them. And then we didn't mention too much about the mini final, the third place playoff, but Bad Combo being Judgment Day, which also is a pretty impressive win, and also highlights the double podium for Will, which is also impressive. Second on the Friday, third on the Saturday. And then, you know, it's just, again, just that top four is not what we predicted. So again, just awesome to have such parity. And, you know, there's some big names missing from that list. Rogan, System, Assistive Touch, all not making top four. So even if you made top four in this event, the like, winner, the winner, achievement.
Like Assistive Touch not making it, like, not that surprising. I think there's so many great teams, but like,
yeah, we have, like, we hardly even talk about Assistive Touch, right? But you know, they're losing the Judgment Day, and then we're like, they lost to Judgment Day, but it's like, That's the caliber of teams we have now. You know, Assisted Touch have got better since last year. They haven't got worse, but everyone else continues to also grow. And we can now see the, you know, former champions, even Rahul and Fred, you know, coming third and fourth respectively this year, and Assisted Touch, you know, not making that top four. So, yeah. And then the top teams, one and two, Rogan and System, power rankings coming into the event, not making top four at all. One of them not making top eight. So that's how it goes.
Gotta be terrible losing to the winners in the round of 16, right? Like, you got
at least you got to the winners, right?
Last year, Wonky lost to, I think, Double Clutch in the round of 16. It's like Blake's got to catch a break.
The game curse has now moved to the Blake curse.
I know. All right, so let's move on to our last little segment of this long one. Talk about, you know, teams that did come back to win the next year in the women's division.
Women's pro,
very different.
we saw their different picture, because the twins actually went through the tournament pretty confident and were showing.
We should maybe start talking about the slotted bracket, right? I know, Mike, you have, and you've been a part of the, you know, you've been, you're a fan of the slot, or you fan, you've done slotted brackets before. Obviously we use the slotted brackets that's the event where if you come, you know, one in group A, the top in group A, then you are the one seed. If you come top in group B, you are the two seed. It doesn't matter about point diff in regards to group. You just, if you're top in that group, even if your record's maybe worse than another top seed in another group, you still become a higher seed. Interesting to see what your thoughts are. I mean, tops, obviously you, because you experienced it this week, and Mike, how you thought it played out this week. Just because obviously if you looked at just the standings, both in the men's or open and women's, the seeding was very different to how the seeding would have looked if they would have done it by wins, losses, and point differential.
Tops, if you have thoughts, you can share, but I'm gonna collect myself.
Okay. It was... I did actually not know that this like the slotted version. I feel like it was a lot of people ask me why it is that way, and I'm not sure what to think about it, to be honest.
I'll try to give my things and know that like this is me pulling thoughts from my brain from many years ago. So essentially, like a big thing that came up at like when we first did the Pro Division, because it was like the first time to ever have 16 teams. And it was also like the first time of like doing series in pool play. And I think at the time, when I say that, not saying that like time has changed, but I think at the time, a big thing that we really wanted to avoid was to have bracket rematches. And like the idea was that if you're going to play teams like in your series in the morning, it would really be unfortunate if we could avoid rematches, at least in the first round and the second round, so that like that wouldn't come again. Like, you know, so you wouldn't just play someone you played in pools again in bracket.
Yep.
And so where that came in is like this slotted bracket. And I don't think like I don't know if we're like the only things to use it. I think soccer uses it. Does soccer use it? It's gone like the World Cup. I don't know. Anyway, something separate. I think just
the World Cup is used. Yeah, but yeah.
But I'm saying like
some tournaments is, some tournaments.
Essentially, like, that was the idea, and that was the thing behind it. I think is like, well, wanted to avoid rematches. Second thing, there's also like this is a whole different thing. Is that like they're a reverse snake, which I don't know if it's a separate thing. If you've noticed the pools, instead of going like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. It's actually 1, 8, and then 13, 14. It kind of like it doesn't go back 9. There's more reasons. I still actually think that's the right thing, but that's kind of a deeper thing to dig into. But anyway, that's part of this.
Yeah.
The real reason is like one, avoiding bracketing matchups. Second thing is it weighs pre-seeds higher. For example, right in the women's side, Towerful did have, they went 6-0 and had higher point diff than Twins. But in this system, Towerful and Twins both won their pool. Twins was the one seed, Towerful was the two. And so we're using those pre-seeds. And so it's more of a thing that like uses the pre-seeds more. For example, on the opposite, Scott, on the open side, right? Mermaid Sparkle went 0-6, but they are, sorry, RCG Powerline, or was it?
Mermaid RCG Powerline went 0-6 and went as the 15 seed, and Mermaid Sparkle the 1-6.
Well, so that's actually a little thing I disagree with. I think they should be the 16 seed, but outside of that, like there are different things, right? Like how different people go in it. It kind of weighs you a little bit more, your group, and a thought is that it avoids comparing it across groups, which is, of course, is things you have to do. But what does 2-4 and 2-4 really mean when you're matching up against a bunch of different teams? And I'd rather just say you are the worst of these four and you pre-seeded 13, so we're going to put you there. Those are all the thoughts.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing in this format is avoiding rematches. There should not be a rematch from pool play unless there's an upset, right? If the 10 seed beats the 7 seed and plays the 2, that might be a rematch.
Of course, there's likely a rematch at some point. You can't never avoid that,
right?
Yep.
But I think that's the biggest thing. Do I still think it's like a good thing to do or something we should do? And I haven't thought about it too much. I don't necessarily like have a problem with it, but I also understand its limitations. I think it's a system to choose. Is that crazy?
Yeah. I think I agree to that.
It's a system.
Yeah.
It's a system. But I'll say on the women's side, right? So women's was interesting, and it ended up a little okay. It was different because there were four teams that got the bye, like the winner of the one pool, the winner of the B pool, winner of C pool. And then it actually worked out exactly as you would have expected, because like Tower Pool beat one, everyone, Twins beat everyone, the three and the four seed split.
Yeah.
And like, so it actually worked out exactly as I would have thought. So like it wasn't a thing, but like there very, very could have been a different situation where it was a little, let's say, wonkier. But you know, that's just how it is. And so I'm not as specific there, but I'll end my ramble there. I guess all that to say, like, it's a system. I think it's helpful for these small things. Is it the best thing we could do? Maybe not.
Good way for people to like a good food for thought for people who obviously hosting events and thinking about it. And again, it's a system. It's not maybe, and it might not be the system, but it's definitely a system that people can adopt for certain events.
Avoiding rematches is extremely complicated. I at some point had like, because we used to do like Pro Division. It was just whoever, or Pro Division or whatever. It was whoever signed up, and we did like et cetera. And like I had like, if it's 15 teams, then we do this bracket so you don't avoid, like, it gets complicated. It gets really, really complicated really, really soon. And it also can get, like, borderline unfair, right? It's like, switch these seeds. With 16, it works pretty good. So I think that's why we're like, there it is.
Let's get past to the storylines.
Someone's, like, geeking out over this, and some people are like, skip. The big storyline.
Tops.
We can... Let's start pool play.
Can't hear tops. Tops, you always have these mic
issues. We'll start talking about pool play. The big thing...
There was no real surprise.
No real big surprises. I'd say the big thing was that... what's interesting is that, like, pool B went exactly as expected. Tarful beat everyone, Royalty, but everyone except for Tarful. Big Beavers beat everyone, beat Loopy Juice, and that was it. In Twins beat VeggieTales. VeggieTales beat everyone, but No Hype and Space Monkeys split, which was cool. And then similarly, on the other side, Tiramisu and 2K split. Like, that was the biggest thing. I watched that match, Tiramisu versus 2K. That was actually really, really fun to watch. That was like the one that we would have expected to go both ways, and then it did. Yeah,
I tried to watch, but
are you sad?
There was no commentary and no scoreboard, so I wasn't really sure what was happening, and I couldn't really fully focus on the game, so I could only pop in and out, so I didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah,
I see.
I saw Danny have some killer serves though.
Yeah, I think like there was. Like 2K was really on a strong performance. It was very, very fun to see them. But on the bigger picture, I think like on that day, like Tiramisu was not in that kind of serve pressure heavy game that they would have last weekend or 2 weekends before that in the European Championships. And you could tell that. And when they then finally had this all European semis, they lost against Towerful, and Laura looked really strong in the performance, but also I felt like Tiramisu was not in that shape that they have been like 2 weeks ago. But of course, it's also always, as we saw with Kingdom Come, on a different day, different performance.
Well, you also remember that the European Championships, you know, again back in Europe, and then even if you go back one to Vienna, you know, it was in their home country. Like, that's where their win started, you know, their win versus Laura and Lou, and then momentum shifted because, you know, hometown, big crowd behind them, same at the European Championships, big crowd behind both teams, and then coming to the US, a little bit of a different atmosphere. Megan maybe coming off a bit of a disappointment from the Friday, and maybe just the expectations to succeed. You know, we've talked about this, and you specifically have talked about this before, Tops, about, you know, there being quite a lot of high expectations on Tiramisu early on, and then taking a little bit time to understand and grab that expectations and then perform, well, the expectations after the European Championships went again to sky high. And maybe that, again, that high expectations played maybe a little bit of a role. Maybe no role at all. Maybe I'm just speculating, but maybe just a little bit of a role again in their performance and their mental state coming into the tournament with, again, high expectation being expected of them after the European Championship win in Padova.
Yeah, that's very true. And what I'm also seeing is, like, we had a lot of games that were no third set. Like, we only have 2K playing against royalty in three sets in the quarters. Like, round of 16, there were only very clear wins, actually. And then we have another in the semi, twins against 2K, which got to their...
2K had all the three sets.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's even just splitting very small as well.
Yeah. And even in the final, we had also the twins taking it in two, making themselves back-to-back.
Three-peat.
Yeah. Champions.
Back-to-back.
Very strong performance there. And the last set was kind of ridiculous because it was 36-34. It was ongoing. And so I was super close. I thought Taufel is going to be in the third set. And I was kind of sure because I'm watching in the background. I was maybe you could see also some reaction of me because I was super, super sure that they would take it and get to third set at least. But in the end, Olivia and Ellie take it and won the competition. Then
it was also really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was really a good game. I would say it's also definitely worth rewatching, even though you know the score. It's just second set was ridiculous. Like, it was really ridiculous. And then we had third place match, and sadly, Tiramisu won, lost against, again, 2K. It was a third set, as always. And taking their second space. And they looked also, their performance on the day was just good. I can't even say something. They were just really solid.
Yeah, they played well. Yeah, they're really the solid players.
Yeah, it was cool to see again, like, the top four we expect be in the top four. So we got sort of the semifinals we were expecting. You know, a fun fact is that when we did the polls on who would win versus Tiramisu versus Taufel, it was actually split 50-50 after like 18 hours of voting when we ended the results. So it was fun to have that. And then also, of course, like you mentioned earlier, that there was not that many three setters. But that's also because, you know, the women's round net scene is going to continue to grow. It doesn't have the same... I feel like the women's round net scene in regards to competition is like where the Open was in 2018, 2019. It just doesn't have that... it doesn't have the same quantity of competition, and therefore there's not going to be as much parity. Like, this is the first year we've seen huge, huge parity in the Open division. And in the women's, if you think about the ratio of women's playing to men's, it's ridiculous. It's probably like, you know, 10 to 1 at the minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's going to take a little bit more time for the women's to get the same supply of players and therefore have the same level of competition and therefore have the same level of parity that we're just starting to see now on the men's scene. Because, you know, the men's scene wasn't like that 3 or 4 years ago when that supply wasn't there and the same level of competition wasn't there. So it would take a little bit of time. But also, you know, we did still get great matchups, especially towards the end of the women's pro division, as you mentioned.
I'd say with that, right, Twins didn't have as an explosive day as Kingdom Come, but like 3 years in a row still on top is pretty crazy.
More than the run.
I did have to work for it in that finals, right? It could have easily went three, and then it's anyone's game there. So like a lot of strong fortitude pushing that one through right at the end there. But it was cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, were so many points, and like it was also a very, very interesting game because all the crowd was already gathered and the atmosphere was really good. So I enjoyed it a lot. Yes. And my dear boys, you can still hear me. Even my microphone was done before it's when I tried to interfere. It was a long weekend. I had a lot of fun. I didn't sleep too much, but I think it was a cool tournament. It was very interesting to see again as you said before, it was kind of this world setup. Like even Europe now coming in strong with a few teams, not really super successful, but like Towerful taking the second space, Gems to the fourth, and the boys were also there. I think it's from this point on going to be even more. Maybe next year we're gonna see also people from Asian, like Asian countries, pushing in there, and it's gonna be very interesting. But yeah, it was a good step in the right direction, and I would conclude with saying that Scott can take last take.
The last take will be, as much as we very much enjoy discussing things, as the quote goes, inside the business, inside RoundNet, such as previews and reviews, I'm very much looking forward to next week, where we're going to come as a conclusion to this that RoundNet podcast season two, but we're also going to discuss some ideas about the business itself, i.e. RoundNet and the bigger picture. Because they're as important conversations, more important in my opinion, and ones I enjoy a lot more than talking about things inside around it. So it'll be, like you mentioned, the Asian growth there and other things that may come into play in 2024. It'll be nice to look ahead to 2024, look ahead to Worlds that's happening, the different format they're doing, you know, sponsorships and money and the cash flow, and also teams and how they're planning on addressing and trying to help grow the sport in 2024. So I think there's a lot of fun things to discuss on the back of this championship that again brings us to a very nice and a very eventful end of the 2024 RoundNet season in the STS
23.
Oh my gosh, I said 2024 too many times in that last sentence, that's why. Nice vision 2023 tournament. See, I'm already living in the future. So on that note, the boys will be back next week, next Wednesday. Make sure to join us. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, that RoundNet podcast, Facebook if you'd like to as well. And we conclude episode 30 there.